I give you now Peter, Paul, and Mary.
Those iconic voices of the 1960s, Peter, Paul, and Mary. At the 1963 March on Washington with Martin Luther King Jr., they were featured performers. Noel Stuckey recalls the songs they played.
And to join 250,000 like-minded people singing We Shall Overcome, or If I Had a Hammer, or Blowing in the Wind, that's an emotive moment, and that's the one thing that music can do.
Before it is washed to the sea, how many years can some people exist before they're allowed to be free?
Must have been an amazing moment.
I think the moment was so full that we really had no consciousness of it as an amazing moment. We just were really, privileged and honored to be part of that process. And then, of course, some 30, 40, 50 years later, looking at black and white footage or television footage, we recognize, the import of that moment. I think Dr. King understood it. I mean, I think he said on the spot, this will, he didn't say this will, not be remembered. He said that this is the most pivotal time in the racial relations in the United States, and he was spot on.
Where have all the flowers gone? Long time passing.
Stuckey prefers we use his first name, Noel, noting Paul is his middle name. When the trio was first formed, it was their manager that decided to use Paul as part of the group's name.
When the group first started rehearsing and we evidently dazzled our manager, or the person who suggested that we get together, Albert Grossman, with our what we had produced during rehearsal, he said, if nothing happens, you're going to happen, and we've got to find a name for the group. And so we suggested the Willows, and then Albert said, well, if Noel changed his name to Paul, we could call the group Peter, Paul, and Mary. And that was it tumbled off the tongue. It was so delicious to say. But I looked him right in the eye. I said, Albert, I'm not going to change my name for, showbiz. I said, I'll take it on as a middle name. And he said, oh, okay. So everybody said, yeah, okay. And not knowing that my middle name was going to take me over for the next 50 years.
Oh, when will they ever learn?
I think most of the reason that people like folk music is because it speaks to a contemporary time. And it's not just hung up on either nostalgia or romantic tunes, but a nice balance of everything. But us folkies, we're just garrulous people. I mean, we'll talk about everything that has happened in the last 50 years.
Did you ever believe or think when the creation started with Peter, Paul, and Mary that it would become what it is today and that it still transcends down the generations?
I don't think so. But that's because we loved what we did. We weren't really thinking about a career. As a matter of fact, it's a little difficult to think of it as a career even now because it's so ongoing. Although Mary passed away in 2009, each of us were very active in our personal lives as well. And in a sense, the music was the theme song. And it wasn't always If I Had a Hammer or Blowing in the Wind. Sometimes, as I indicated earlier, it pertained to a particular issue. I would write a song about El Salvador. Peter would write a song about anti-bullying, which has become kind of a center point for an educational program that he's created in schools. So the three of us never really thought about an ongoing career. We just knew that where we were at the moment, whether that was the March on Washington, or whether that was an anti-nuke demonstration, or whether it was to stop a a nuclear reactor from going online in California, or visiting the strawberry workers, or whether it was visiting Central America on a kind of a fact-finding mission. We were just following where the music in our hearts was leading us.
I wanted to talk about the songs itself, the famous songs, of course. We've all kind of grown up hearing that Puff the Magic Dragon has some other legend meaning of smoking of pot, and I know there's been some denial on yours and Peter's part. Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. It is absurd that people would link it to drugs. It had nothing to do with drugs. It has a lot to do with a person growing up and leaving a childhood friend. And, you know, some kids get that. I mean, they really are moved by it. Part of the reason that we were denied airplay in the early 60s when the song first came out is that people thought it was too heavy a song. That in fact, it was about, you know, a little boy that died and the dragon went on. But the poetry of it ultimately, you know, was revealed. I think people pretty much figured what Puff was about.
I wanted to talk about the wedding song. That was your song, correct?
Mm-hmm.
There was so much religious content in it, and yet it was so popular on the pop charts of that day. Would it be as embraced in modern day times because of the lyrics?
Apparently it is. Actually, it's funny you should ask about the lyrics, because I altered the lyric from the words that I had received in prayer, which is parenthetically why I don't take credit for the song directly. And I put all the money into a publishing company that is a nonprofit and supports other nonprofits. But the lyric came as, "I am now to be among you at the calling of your hearts, rest assured this troubadour," because I was asking how the divine could be represented at Peter's wedding. This was a song that was written in response to Peter's asking me if I would bless his wedding with a song. So the language is very inclusive in that sense, and speaks from a higher spiritual plane. And only recently I have begun to perform it in the original lyric, because now I see people can understand, you know, that it's not me who's declaring after the second coming, but me who is really just trying to be a troubadour, you know, acting on the part of the divine.
Rest assured, this troubadour is acting on his part.
You talked about Mary dying in 2009, Mary Travers, of course. How has that changed you in your performances and the fact that you lost that person of your trio that was so integral for your group?
Well, I appreciate you asking it with that, you know, with that tone, because there's no doubt about the fact that the trio is diminished, and we would never seriously consider adding a third voice to try to keep it going. You know, the magic of the trio is part of the glue that held us together. I mean, we knew that we were three very individual people. And, you know, quite uncannily, when Peter and I do the occasional concert, and we still do perform together occasionally, the Mary's presence is strongly felt through the audience singing her part. Quite often, and Peter and I will harmonize to an audience. We speak of her, you know, frankly, with a sense of loss from stage. It's not, you know, the deference is there, but also the, you know, the joy and the camaraderie and the realization that Mary would get a kick out of Peter and I talking about how much freedom we have on stage now, because she doesn't control us the way that she used to. And I think that's, you know, it's kind of like an Irish memorial service. You know, you want to tell a funny story every once in a while just to take kind of the pain away, and also to reestablish the humanity of the person who it is you're missing.
Noel Stuckey of Peter, Paul, and Mary fame, thank you so much for joining us.
You betcha. Eileen, it was lovely talking to you.
Kiss me and smile for me. Tell to go. Now the time has come to leave you. One more time, let me kiss you, then close your eyes.